Is this a metal thing?
Yes.
A little taste.
David, what is this?
It's pretty thick.
I have to kill a lot of people. Just tell me what you want me to fuck.
I have big dick and a tiny vagina.
Oil me up, Daddy.
I can't believe that Bly's first
big tits.
Mistletoe alert.
This is butt country.
This guy was a real jerk.
How long can Ugo be pregnant?
Chomp, 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 chomp.
Oh, she's such a dick, David.
Okay, everybody, put on your corpse handling gloves.
Ew.
Hoodie Picasso.
Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Chonk. This is your host, Bryce Hansen, and with me as always is Mr. David Day.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. What was that?
I muted it at the very end.
It's the fairy.
So it was just...
I was like, oh.
If you're new to Horror Movie Chonk, we're a horror movie review show. We review one horror movie every week. New releases get priority, but we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible. Got a great show today. This one was voted on by our patrons. Go to patreon.com/horrormovietalk and join them.
I feel like
please. What?
I feel attacked. This week, the patrons attacked me with this one.
We are watching and reviewing Audition.
99.
From 99.
Well, Japanese flick.
Before we get into that, just want to give a couple shout-outs to our website, horrormovietalk.com. There you'll find links to all the things. Want to thank our Patreon patrons for voting for this and supporting us so directly, and they get access to a lot of bonus content, so let's not thank them too much. They're buying something. If you're new to the show, we post new episodes every Wednesday. I just want to fuck a good thing, you know. I just want to fuck up the best thing about Horror Movie Talk, which is
right.
Our patrons.
Yeah, no, I noticed.
If you want to call and give us a voicemail about how much of an asshole I am, call 682-253-4468, and you'll maybe hear yourself on a future episode of Horror Movie Talk. We start every episode by giving a brief review and synopsis, and then we score the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge where it makes you angry, 5 being an average film that hits all the expected marks, and 10 being so good it transcends genre boundaries. I've done this intro so much that I'm starting to enter in the speed and, amalgamated language of cops when they pull you over. Like, they talk so quick and just everything runs through because they've said it a billion times. Let me just give you your license registration for me right now.
Okay. Can I get your license registration?
What?
License registration, please.
Can you tell me where you're going so fast?
Do you know how fast you were going back there? Back there?
Yeah, that's me talking about the scores. There's always a reason. And, you know, we're 4 years into it almost. Like
more.
Sometimes.
5 years into it almost.
Sometimes you wonder, like, why do they keep saying all these things? It's because in the first year... people were confused. Isn't that silly? Isn't that funny to think that, like, people were confused about, like, wait.
What does 1 to 10 really mean, though?
So what's 5?
It was our social media guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy who is now our social media guy being like, yeah, but what does that really mean?
There was a couple people. I mean, I think Garrett also was like, yeah, I mean, it's good. You should just clarify what...
Wait, but how does that work, 1 to 10?
All right, let me get through the rest of my mealy mouth intro. After we get a risk, we'll get into the spoilers, take a deeper dive into what we liked about, hated about the film. Later on, we'll be playing taglines. Did you get my text about taglines?
Yes.
Okay, good. So let's get into it. Let's get into the episode. Again, patrons voted, and we watched Audition, and it made the final cut. Here's the trailer. What a crazy trailer.
Nuts.
Who knew what was going to come up?
Whoa. Whoa.
All right. So Audition can be found currently. Who knows where it'll be found as of the publishing of this episode. But right now it can be found on Canopy, which might be available through your library card for free. And on Tubi, which I believe was ad-supported in when I checked it.
It was. Yes.
Again, I'm going to plug Hoopla and Canopy until people believe me that it's a good thing. Like, I don't, people have an aversion to using a free library offering.
It does sound complicated.
It's literally you just need a library card, and that's how you sign up.
Ooh. Boy.
The film follows Shigeharu Aoyama, played by Ryu Ishibashi. Oh, yeah. How would you say it, David?
What? I can laugh. I think you're cute. Shigeharu Aoyama. Aoyama.
It would it be better if I said it in a Japanese voice?
Yeah.
The film follows Shigeharu Aoyama, played
by... Oh, that's what's worse. Oh, no. Don't do that anymore. Don't do that.
Played by the actor Ryu Ishibashi.
But if you watch the movie, he's right, though.
So he's a widower that upon the encouragement from his college age, son, not super clear about that, decides to find a new wife. After sharing his intentions to find a suitable mate with a coworker in the movie business, they hatch a scheme to screen a bevy of eligible young women in the guise of a film audition. Poring over thousands of resumes and applications, Shigeharu is smitten with one woman in particular. After seeing her audition, he reaches out and they start dating. His coworker has doubts about her, but Shigeharu is undaunted and falls madly in love. Turns out, you should probably listen to your friends. Much is made about Audition as a truly disturbing movie, and I have to say, it's kind of disappointed.
What?
Is my heart so cold that I can no longer be stirred by amputations? What has become of me? Like, this seems so tame to me now. And I think it's the case of being...
Compared to what? Real amputation videos? What are you doing in your spare time?
Watching real amputation videos. We'll get to that. But I think it's the case of being on the vanguard or being, like, on the forefront and then later being eclipsed by films that were inspired by it. So this was 1999, and torture porn horror had not been a term that anyone had heard of. And at the time, this must have seemed super shocking and groundbreaking for genre fans. However, soon after, Saw, Hostel, and The Human Centipede and those movies came out and make Audition seem almost quaint to me.
Little correction. Actually, this had been a genre in Japan for a long time at this point. Guinea Pig, the whole Guinea Pig series is Japanese and is, I mean, arguably much more horrendous. Just doesn't have any story at all. Really, it's just gore porn. I mean, it is the quintessential gore porn. And that was in the 80s, and then the 90s it continued into. But, yeah, those Japanese, I don't know. I just do not know. It's a lot, you know? It is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always on the list of, like, the most shocking, like, disturbing horror. And, like, I don't know, maybe I've built it up so much in my head that I could not be affected by it, but I don't know. And it might have just been the viewing situation, but to me it was like, yeah, it's pretty cut and dry. They don't do... They don't show that much. That might be one of the things that if you're not actively noticing it, like, you don't realize, like, in like Pulp Fiction or a lot of these films marked as super violent, they don't actually show anything, but they show the after effects and they show reactions. And so if you're into it, it feels super disturbing. And
well, it's really sold on the diabolical part, you know, like it's sold on the acting of the actors. Like, I mean, it's just great acting during these parts, you know, that taps into the empathetic nerve that Bryce does not have.
Excuse me. No.
Your words, not mine. Like, you're sitting here like, it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know where my empathy went, but it ain't here.
Well, I mean, for me, like, it's hard for me to suspend my disbelief in this case because it just feels pretty artificial. It feels like, yeah, I mean, I can see through, you know, see the man behind the curtain, which is like, no, we're trying to be shocking and whatnot, but really the character development and like the backstory isn't fleshed out enough to where I can really believe that this is a real person or understand the motivations on it enough.
I will say this. There's a thing happening in this movie and in a lot of not just Japanese movies, but you know, Korean movies and sometimes Chinese movies that I've seen where I really feel like there's something lost in translation, because there's an element of mystery to the whole thing that I feel like might actually be being fleshed out in some sort of language thing that's just not translating over or is so common knowledge in that culture that they just get it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame you for thinking that, but I don't think that's the case here, because in the trivia in IMDb, it talks about this is adapted from a book, and the book goes into a lot more detail about her background. And that, I mean, I didn't form that opinion after I read the trivia. I was like, I watched it, I'm like, kind of confused about the, towards the ending, like, when they do a bunch of flashbacks in this dreamlike way where it kind of explains what her backstory is and what her motivations are, but never really cements it, and you're never really quite sure what really happened. And apparently in the book, it's just very straightforward about what happened to her. So it's
kind of weird to hold back in this, you right. know, it's yeah. like, but you do so much.
And they had plenty of time for it. I mean, it's a 2-hour.
Yeah. It's
run
a long
time.
Yeah.
They slow roll it really well. So, I mean, it's not like they couldn't have if they didn't want to. It was a choice and just not one that I thought. I feel like a broken record about, like, talking about character development or, you know, just, like, fleshing out characters and motivations and stuff. But I think it's what separates great movies from mediocre ones to me. And it didn't do nothing. It's just not enough for me to care. I think movies like this really depend on being carried by the plot itself, and I don't know, I think I was set up with higher expectations than it could deliver. It portends, so yeah, the strong suit of the film is the midstream switcheroo of genre. So well into act two, this is a pretty charming run-of-the-mill rom-com, and the third act is straight Lynchian horror. Like, it's intense. And going into it and having zero expectations and zero knowledge, I can imagine this would be a pretty impactful film. But
that was me. I was
pretty, like,
I had heard of Audition a couple times. Like, I just had heard the name, the end. Like, I had no... That's it. And so I came into this like, what is this? Oh, no. Oh, no. You know?
Right. Yeah. It portends to be deep and psychological, but there isn't really much depth in the end, in my opinion. No real strong statements are made other than abuse is bad and can have lasting effects. I wish they would have delved deeper into Asami's story, the woman's backstory, and unmasked her psyche, but, and her unmasked psyche, because a lot of it is like she's pretending to be something else, and like that is really interesting. If you want like a comparison of like what could this have been, watch Gone Girl and see like a woman wearing a mask and then having it revealed what's actually going on behind the scenes, and that's very effective. I wish they would have delved deeper into that. But what they really did and the choices they made was to slow roll the plot and then take their time with the gore in the third act. And I don't blame them. It works. It's just not...
It's a very Japanese horror thing to do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the third act is very strong and it works. It just takes so long to get there without fully using the runtime to make the characters compelling. That I think it's just a bit of a wasted opportunity. Overall, it's a unique and very weird movie, like in the true sense of the word weird, but isn't going on the top of any of my lists. It deserves attention, but seems a little overhyped for what it is. I give it a score of 6 out of 10.
I the slow roll can work real well. Like a good example of a slow roll movie that I really enjoy is Lamb, you know, like, the journey is the destination kind of thing. Like, I really like Lamb for that reason. Personally, I know you didn't, but for me, it worked. I like the slow roll in that situation. In this situation, no, I think you didn't like the, I'm just specifically talking about the slow roll. I thought I remembered you saying that it was just unnecessarily brooding and long.
I think I said like it would have worked better as a short film.
Yeah, sounds like something you'd say. But I really like that part of it. In this one, the slow roll is really intense in the second act. Like the first act, pretty quick. It's fun, you know, it's very rom-commy, and then that second act just drags and drags and drags and drags, and really just could have been cut down a lot for my taste. Other than that, that's where it loses points, is it was just like I don't know if this is supposed to be so long and boring, but there is a lot of long and boring scenes that just don't need to be there for me. But I know I knew very little, like I said, about this coming in, and it was hard to sit through. As when it starts hard, and then it just goes way harder on implication and violence and just disgusting concepts. Conceptually, it's really fucking gross, but not just gross, like probably something that has happened in real life. And so you just kind of, your butthole clenches up and your stomach tightens. And it's just very hard. The end was revolting.
Well, I'll admit to something that I fully appreciate if I get shade thrown at me for this, but I watched it on Canopy. I think I started at like 10 last night, and Canopy has the option to watch it 1.5 or 2x speed. And so for much of the, like, I would put it at 1x when it was like felt like an important scene, but anything else around like just exposition or like filler for, like, and then this happens in between the two important scenes. I was watching it 2x. So that felt...
I'm going to say, in this case, pro move.
That felt nice. I'll say third act was all 1x. Like, that was...
Third act, Bryce was at 0.25. He's like, yeah. Fucking freako. Yeah, that third act was rough. I give this a score. Yeah, I mean, 7. I will say that this was one of the most difficult movies at the end to I've ever had to sit through. It was vile. And really, the concepts being portrayed were.
Yeah, it'll be fun talking about it in the spoiler section. But before we get to spoilers, let's talk about our sponsors, mainly our patrons. Our patrons are paying for this episode, basically, and they voted for it. And if you don't like hearing about them every week, and if you don't like hearing the commercials that get interjected every so often into the episode, you can go on patreon.com/horrormovietalk and join, and you can get rid of those commercials and get early access to episodes right after we edit them. Also, please visit our shop at horrormovietalk.com/shop for logo tees and stickers and other stuff that's designed by Dustin Goble, our resident artist. He fucks hard, he takes commissions, and he takes no prisoners. So you can find him on Instagram at dgoebel00. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram. And ask him for anything that your heart desires. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call 682-253-4468. Thanks for listening. Let's get into spoilers. Spoilers. Okay, so the story, I think I basically talked about mostly in the synopsis, but I thought there was kind of a red herring in the form of a fish in the beginning of this movie, because it opens with the son and father fishing, and the son makes a point of talking about this particular fish. They're all born male, and then as they mature, become like hermaphrodites, and then eventually end up as a male or female. So I was expecting like a Crying Game ending for this. I was like, oh, so that's obviously a setup to have this woman that he falls in love with, like, actually a trans person, which is not appropriate.
Why?
Because it's not good to marginalize and villainize trans people. But it had nothing to do with anything. So I thought that was just like an interesting non sequitur.
I guess the movie that I saw this turning into when I heard hermaphrodite was a very positive one. So I was confused as to why you would say something like that, you know?
Right. And maybe... maybe it's just symbolism. Whoa. Why did your head get giant? Okay. I look down, and all of a sudden I just see a fucking eye.
Yeah. That's how we do it over here, baby.
So maybe like the reason for that is like she started out as one thing and transformed into something else. Because of trauma. Which seems like a pretty common theme in horror movies.
Trauma.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, so it's kind of, it happens very quick, and this is like the part of like the culture, the Japanese culture, more so than overarching plot or like thematic stuff. The stuff that seems really foreign and weird to me is how nonchalant the guy's like, yeah, so I decided I'm going to get married again. So I'm just going to find a girl and like propose to her after 2 dates. And his friend's like, okay, well, that's a good idea.
There's so much of that kind of thing just generally speaking, in specifically Japanese film, that it's got to be just a cultural thing. Like, there's so many different parts of Japanese film where I watch it and I'm like, why is it so stilted? Is it just the way their culture is just real stilted and like formal? Because like, even down to like the personal moments between this fella and his girlfriend, this girl, are like their private personal conversations are like propped up on real formal stilts. And this is not just this movie. This is a lot of Japanese movies that I've seen. So it must be a cultural thing, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's definitely a cultural thing. I mean, I'm no expert, but there's definitely like everything's very formal and a lot goes unsaid, and there's a huge facade of politeness and like formality around personal interactions, and it's like in the film it comes off as like it seems like they're all like no nonsense, like when he's talking with his friend, like it's all like very unemotional and practical when they're talking about some pretty emotional and like intense topics like falling in love and getting married. I guess I would assume that falling in love would be part of it, but he's like, no, I want a girl that checks these three specific boxes. And they're like, okay. To me, it'd be like, okay, well, you can't just go out and shop for them, you know? But apparently in Japan, you kind of can.
But then they proceed to do exactly that in, like, the funnest way possible.
Yeah, I mean, the setup is pretty great, which is, like, they're in the movie business, and they're like, well, let's just act like we're making a movie and audition a bunch of hotties, you know? And, I mean, I'm sure that's the tack of a lot of producers in Hollywood. Like, it's been a minute since I got my dick wet. This is like
zip.
Harvey Weinstein. He's like, I haven't had my dick wet for 15 minutes. Let's go hold an audition in my hotel room. So the setup is interesting and frankly a little disturbing. And they go through this cavalcade of women, and he finds this one that he's stricken with. And the rest of the movie happens. The one thing that pulls me out of it, for some reason, like, he's got his son, and his son brings over, like, a girlfriend. And I can't tell how old the son is supposed to be, because the girl and him are identifying dinosaurs, which I associate with, like, a three-year-old son.
He can be like, an archaeologist.
I mean, it finally comes to that where, like, it's revealed that he's excited about a new discovery. So it's like, well, he must be in the field, maybe, or studying it in college. But in that scene with the girl, she's like, they're holding up, like, toy... Am I wrong that they're holding up toy dinosaurs?
You are not wrong. Like, you're just weirdly judgmental.
I get that you can be an archaeologist, but I don't know. There's something about, like, having
toy... Should we look at a model? And then he pulls out his little toy. That's a Parasaurolophus. You know what, Bryce? I'm actually really glad that I found a natural segue to talk about Jurassic Park here. because I was watching that last night, as you know. And it's crazy to me. Just a Jurassic Park segment in audition. It's crazy to me that, like, okay, so what's the white bearded dude's name in Jurassic Park?
John Hammond.
John Hammond has spent 5 years with the lease to this island off Costa Rica, and he's built a theme park around live dinosaurs. live dinosaurs caged. And now when it's about getting ready to open, he needs the opinion of dinosaur experts and the lawyer present, meaning Bryce, he did all of that work with no archaeologists around. And just now the archaeologists who he's been funding to do archaeological research are learning about the island. Is that crazy?
No, that's not the setup. The setup is...
I just watched it.
The setup is that they're getting the archaeologist and Lori Sattler to come specifically for the insurance audit. Like, they're bringing them on as outside experts. I'm sure that they have plenty of internal expertise.
No, he says multiple times, I got you here to as experts. I haven't had these experts around. Like, he could use the archaeologists who are just there. If there were archaeologists there, if there were experts there,
that's not how an audit works. Like, you don't audit. It's called an external audit.
I hope you're
right. You audit a business by pulling in external sources, because if you use internal accountants that have been cooking the books to run your audit, then they can just say, like, yeah, everything's good.
Why do you automatically assume the internal accountants are cooking the books? Bryce Hansen LLC has some shade on him now. I hope you're right. That actually makes a little bit more sense, because this whole time I was like, he did all this without archaeologists? How? Anyway, back to audition.
So audition, for the first half of it, almost the first like three-fourths of it, is a straight ahead rom-com. Like, it's very much hits all the beats of like the meet cutes. He's like, he spills his coffee on this one application. He's like, oh,
I'm meet cuting.
What a cute little girl that I can meet because of my coffee spill.
What is this meet cutes? What is this? You said you never heard of the.
This is not the first time I've used the term meet cute. It's like the, you know, in every rom-com, like the two protagonists like accidentally run into each other or something, and like the girl drops her papers and then the guy like leans down to like pick him up with her, or there's some circumstance in which they butt heads through circumstance and they leave like either flustered or embarrassed. And then they fall in love later. This is a unique concept.
This is a new concept to me. However, upon basic Google review, I'll give the huge Wikipedia. There's a Wikipedia page devoted to the term meet cute. And here we go. Here's the basic premise. In film and television, a meet cute is a scene in which two people who will form a future romantic couple meet for the first time, typically under unusual, humorous, or cute circumstances. Look at you coming out here, distributing, laying in a lake, distributing knowledge.
David, I'm a professional film reviewer. I know terms like meet cute.
Fluffer.
I know what a grip does.
Yeah, you do.
I know what a best boy does.
Yeah, you do. Like,
all these things you're required to know before you can have opinions about film.
Hell yeah, brother.
So anyways, like, it's got all the rom-com aspects. It's got, like, the just, like, inexplicable falling apart at the midpoint. And unlike a rom-com, instead of coming back together and like, falling madly in love and getting married and living happily ever after, that's not how audition ends. So he kind of falls for this girl in white after he reads her essay in her application. And then they audition her. And he's the only one that he asks questions to or like makes a comment. And he kind of like loses himself in the moment. He's like, I read your thing and like losing at part of it's like, listen to it. This is the life lesson that I'm going to bestow upon you, because you sound damaged and hurt. And I'll tell you how to, like, you know, look at it, since I'm the older, more mature. And then also it's like he ends it with basically like, I think it's very interesting that you're this mature that you recognize that this is important or whatever. But basically says that losing something that you love is part of life, and that he was kind of basically impressed by her melancholy around it, that she's already experienced that and she's young. Her the thing that she lost is she was a ballet dancer, and then she got injured and she can no longer do ballet, and so that was devastating to her.
Right. Now, this is another very Japanese thing where the thing that they're talking about is just not something you've ever heard of before. You know, it's like, I'm so impressed by this version of your maturity. And you're like, why would you say it like that? Like, there's just something a little bit different. And it's just most interesting, I guess, to me in the Japanese culture, because it's so foreign that it's almost impossible for me to understand it. You know, it's like the upside down kind of. It's like, what? Every part of it is a little bit spooky and strange to me because it is so many foreign concepts. I don't know. Does that ring true at all?
I think you're a little more intimidated than you need to be by the cultural differences. I think usually it doesn't come down to that much difference in terms of like the main points. I think it's like the main differences are differences in approach, or
yeah,
differences in like how you portray yourself publicly.
Right.
But in terms of like internal life and like emotional stuff, I think that's kind of universal. I don't know. So he kind of is smitten with her, and his friend, like, early on is like, yeah, there's something wrong with her. Like, I don't have a good feeling about her. And later kind of checks in on some of her backstory about, like, she said that she's kind of managed by this executive at this Ace Records business. But when the friend checks, there's no such person, or there used to be, but now they're missing person. Regardless, the main character calls her and is like, hey, I'm a very important producer. Would you like to go out to dinner with me? And she's like, okay. And she's very game. And at the end of the meeting, she's very forward about asking, can we do this again? And saying, basically, I don't have anyone to confide in. So she's very lonely and desperate. Perfect for a date. That's, I don't know. Back when I was dating, that's exactly what I looked for. Lonely and desperate.
Right. It's hard for me to know what, like, I mean, it's just hard for the audience to know throughout this, what this guy's transgression is against this woman in particular. And I think the answer is that, there's a bunch of stuff that the film has been hiding from you, right? It's like, oh, he's been using these women, unbeknownst to you, the audience. He's been getting his dick sucked by all these women all this time, kind of.
No, I think it's a lot lighter than that. Like, I think the explanation in the end is, that's part of it. Like, she basically, I don't know, with any like insane murderers, their rationale is not super important, and it's like pretty arbitrary to them. And I think one of it was like, yes, bringing up that, yeah, he's a bad guy because he was using this audition specifically for his purposes. And so, sure, that's bad. But one of the big thing that she makes a big deal out of is that he lied to her.
Right. About the fact that she would be his only love, but really he has other people in his life who he has loved and does love, like his son.
Yeah. And I guess they make that's a lot clearer, and they make a bigger deal of that in the novel, which is he doesn't reveal that he has a son until later in the book. So that might be something. My hair is invisible. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of her rule. And in the end, it's like, she's just going to kill men. Like, she's going to find a reason to kill whatever men she can get into her bed or whatever. So, his friend is consistent with, like, telling him to be cautionful, to exercise caution. And he's telling her, don't ring her. To the point where it feels kind of ridiculous because he's like, this is about your life. It's like, okay, like, just because of the fact she lied about her agent doesn't mean she's going to murder me, but okay, I'll hold off. It's like, well, yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, let me see if you take the next bullet point so I can try to adjust my filter here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so at this point, we are given a very impressive insight into this young gal's life, which is she's just sitting in a room, inanimate, almost dead, just sitting, waiting by the phone with a burlap sack seemingly containing someone inside it across the room from her. And so, and when the phone rings, when he finally calls her, she looks up with a little hint of a smile across her face. And you're like, oh, this is very, very, very bad. This is very bad.
And then the bag rolls and it's like, bah!
Yeah.
Up till this point, it could have been just a bag full of laundry. And it could have like just been very poor and not have any furniture.
But her laundry is just a bag full of dicks.
So we know that something's wrong, but we don't know how wrong until the end. So they, you know, they start dating in earnest, and then he takes her on a trip. There's the great scene where he's like making plans to go to the museum and like do a walking tour, and she's like looking at him like, do you not realize I'm down to fuck right now? Like, maybe I was unclear. And then she starts undressing. This is one of those in terms of, like, if we're talking about cultural differences, this is the one where it's, like, confusing to me. Because I don't know about you. Like, are you ever confused by Japanese porn? Sometimes I am. Because she gets undressed, and it seems like, oh, she's going to be forward and be, like, the one that takes charge, gets undressed, and, like, you know, if this was a Western film, it'd be like she would go up to him and start sucking his dick, right?
Okay, yeah.
Is that not, I mean, weren't you, when as you were unzipping your pants, isn't that what you were thinking was going to happen?
Yeah.
Right. Instead, she lies like a plank on the bed and covers herself.
Do you remember?
And then tells him to come to bed.
Do you remember The Killing of a Sacred Deer? One of my very favorite movies.
Yes, I do, in fact.
With Nicole Kidman pretending to just be dead so that so that he could fuck her.
I keep that in my mind, in a bank of sorts. specific bank of memories I keep is Nicole Kidman lying in underwear on a bed. So that one was weird, and he like kind of comes up to her, and then she uses it as a way to reveal that she has some scars, which is like, okay, it just feels a little weird. And I don't know how much of that is like the scene is weird, and I don't know how much of that is just like sexuality is different. I do know this, like, from my understanding of Japanese porn, is that it's very focused on the women being passive. Like, that's a really, like, big concept about women are there to be taught by the men how to have sex.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's disturbing. I mean, I'm not a big fan because, like,
not a big fan.
There's a certain effect of, like, this is almost like infantilizing women of like, she doesn't know what she's doing. Like, I have to show her. And you're like, if that's what you want, what kind of woman is going to provide that for you? And the answer is very immature.
Well, or like coached in this, you know, which either way is unappealing because it's false. It's either false or it's alarming. Yeah, that whole thing. I gotta say, it's just generally speaking, I don't love it. Don't love a lot of. I mean, listen, I'm pretty well versed in porn. I've seen a lot of it. A lot of times the Japanese stuff is a little bit cryy for me, a little bit high-pitched for me, a lot of crying, a lot of high-pitched crying, a lot of perceived pain. Yeah, a little, at least there's pain involved. A lot of the time, a little bit of rape thrown in there, a lot of like, I'm not here for this. It's you. You're doing this to me. And it's like, I don't like it. So, hey, I'll tell you what, if this sounds rough to you, if this sounds maybe problematic to you, I would suggest that you go head on over, type in Pornhub to your, don't forget to go into incognito mode, and then type in pornhub.com, and then just type in, then just go to the category section that says Japanese, and just click on any of them. I'd say there's a 75% chance that you'll find exactly what I'm talking about right away. Maybe a lot better chances than that. I'm not into it, but it is in this movie. Shockingly, it is like a little bit here. So yeah, maybe that's where all this stems from. My daunting feelings surrounding Japanese cinema. I like Akira. It's pretty cool. Like, some anime is pretty good. I just watched a Vice documentary about how child pornography is legal as long as it's animated. So in Japan. So like in America, if you were to draw pictures of child porn, that's not okay. That's illegal. Japan, hey, big thumbs up. And there's a lot of it. And it's a Vice documentary that like gets into it. And it's like, okay, some of the guys who draw it are like, yes, but it keeps us off the streets. And then there's a bunch of like, but does it though? Or does it like radicalize people very quickly? And you know, who's to say, except for maybe the kids, you know, I bet the kids would say, so, I don't know. Different strokes
for different folks. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be xenophobic or anything, but I gotta say, like,
whoa, that's quite an intro.
I'm gonna say, like, Americans know how to fuck. Like, fertility is not an issue in America. Like, all these Asian countries where they're like gonna have these demographic collapses because the young people aren't fucking and having kids.
I think you're just talking about Japan, although maybe South Korea as well.
China too. China is going to have a huge demographic collapse.
Is it?
In the future? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they had a fucking one child policy for a decade or something like that. Yeah, it was government enforced, and like, huh? Shocking. That's not a good idea to enforce how many kids people can have. Like, yeah.
The crazy thing to me is how many people here are like staunch supporters of the CCP are like, how dare you question them? And it's like, okay, wait, what? Anyway, getting mildly political in horror movie talk over here because of audition.
I'm just saying, we know how to fuck. So yeah, go back. Where were we? where were we until we saw? So she lays down. She tells him about, like, she was hurt by accident. Then her story changes later. And then this is when she tells him to commit to love her and no one else. I don't think he realized how literal she meant that. Not just like, you can't date anyone else, or I'm the only woman you can have sex with. She literally meant, like, you don't get to have anyone in your life that you love other than me. Because that apparently enrages her. And this is where it kind of goes weird, because after supposedly they have sex, he wakes up dazed and she's just gone. And, like, she's nowhere to be found. Like, he sees where she slept, but, you know, can't find hide nor hair of the lady. And then he starts, like, investigating, goes on, like, a quest to find her, and he goes to her old ballet studio and finds some creepy ballet instructor, I guess. And then it's kind of revealed, weirdly, maybe, that he was the one that burned her and it wasn't an accident that she did on herself. And he doesn't have feet, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, he's got someone else's skin boots on with boards taped to the bottom of that skin. And they've made into boots.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's something weird. And then pretty quickly it gets into the third act where, like, you're shown this first person view of her supposedly going up to his whiskey bottle. And then pretty quickly he takes a drink and immediately faints. He is, again, like a plank, just falling backwards onto the floor. And this is, the third act is really dreamlike. It cuts back and forth between all these, like, flashbacks to earlier in her life, but also earlier in the film, like when they're dating or when she's in the audition. And it's really confusing because it immediately, like, jump cuts to them at dinner, and then she's describing her backstory, which is like having an abusive uncle when she was like 7 and basically like being tortured and having a really shitty life. And then there's this weird, okay, this is where it gets really weird for me, because there's also this weird pedophile undertone of things, because it shows her as a girl lying on the floor and spreading eagle and the guy coming at her with the hot wires. And then it does this, like, really close-up of, like, her leg and going up her crotch where you can, like, see her butt poking out. And then it gets up, but... And this is where I get confused, because a couple times it swaps faces or heads, and it was like... It started out as a little girl, but then when it gets to the head, it doesn't look like the little girl's face. Like,
it's the implication.
Because of the implication.
If you do this to someone... You do it to all of us. You are all this. You're the same as everyone else, and all the victims are the same, and it's just this cycle of violence, kind of. I think that's the insinuation.
Right, and then later, like, when she goes to suck his dick, her face changes again between her and the girl at the office, and also his son's girlfriend. Like,
and it's... also his ex-wife, his widowed wife.
And then he is in her apartment and stumbles over the sack. And this is when it's revealed that there's a guy in the sack that crawls out, and he's missing a tongue, 3 fingers and his feet. And it cuts back to, like, her cutting off the feet with this bone cutting wire. And this made me remember, when I totally fell in love with Glittercore as a fan. Because back in the day on Instagram, when she originally reached out, she's always been, like, pretty bold and offensive with what she shares with us. But this there was, I can't remember what we were talking about, but it was something about she works in the medical field, and she was like, have you ever seen this shit? And it's like this one type of, literally like what's in this film, like there's this wire that's a saw.
I have a couple of these.
And she sent me a video of it. It was like, here's what it looks like. And it's like an instructional video on how to use it.
It's wire. What it is, I can't remember what it's called. It's a wire wrapped around.
It's like a
wire.
French, it's a French name.
Wire wrapped around wire bone cutting. What's it called? Oh, Geely.
Yeah, Geely saw.
Yeah, Geely saws. They're great for friction cuts, right? Like, because you can like get it going so fast that it'll cauterize the wound. And because the wire is so tiny, because it's wire wrapped around wire, that means the teeth is like every different notch in the wire as it's like braided around itself. So that makes, when you can pull it back and forth pretty quick, you can move it so fast that it'll actually like make smoke. Like you can like you can use it for cutting firewood and starting a fire almost. Like it will produce smoke.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let you do the Googling or the YouTubing, but you can find demonstrations of a Geely saw on YouTube, which Glittercore dropped into our DMs, and it is the most shocking, like, in terms of like, I did not know that reality contained this. Was you can saw off someone's leg so quick, because I think in the thing she showed me, it was like sawed off at the thigh. Like it was like not just like an ankle or like a knee, it was literally at the meaty part of a thigh, and just like it was zip zap, that leg is gone.
I can't do this right now. this part of this movie is so gross. Like
and this is the reaction when Glittercore shared it too. You did not watch it, and
no.
I did. And I watched it several times, and I think I showed Aaron.
I am not. How did Aaron do? I can barely hear you right now, so.
I'm not sure if I actually showed it to her, but she's not a huge fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is.
Here, let me do an impression.
No,
really quick,
no.
What it sounds like. David, just imagine
you don't realize
being cut
what's
by
at
wire.
Stake here. Like I could pass out. Like that would be done. Like the review would be done. I could just walk away. I could feel so sick that I just throw up and walk away.
I know. This is. You're safe. Put your headphones back on. I promise to be good. I promise to be good. This is a fundamental difference in opinion. You think that's bad. I think that's excellent, Pod. But we'll move on.
It's not that it's just that I could quit because of anger.
Uh-huh.
You know, I could turn really angry and then be gone. Or sick.
Again, it's a fundamental disagreement. You think that's a bad thing? I think that's excellent, Pod.
It's just like, yeah, I guess it is a fundamental disagreement. I think that's a thing a bad person would do, and you are a bad person.
Okay, let's not make it.
Oh, now judgment. We're getting into territory that's too rough for you, huh?
Why don't you tell me how to cut off a letter?
Why don't you tell me what to do?
Okay, so speaking of fun things,
she puts
it cuts
all these
back to
needles in him
falling.
Oh.
Well, before we even get to the needles, we see the dead dog.
Oh. Yeah, Ghoulie or whatever his name is. This movie is so uncomfortable.
Which apparently in the book is much more graphic how she kills the dog, and they don't do that in the movie. But yeah, there's this needle torture, and like this is super creepy when she's like putting in the needle. She's like sing-songy going deeper, deeper, deeper.
What? How does it go?
Yeah, something like that.
It's like, ooh, ooh. And she's so Like, she's so, like, pristine and composed throughout the whole thing. And it's, that's really the thing that, like, you have this beautiful young woman who is so composed and so diabolically evil and violent. And she's doing these horrible, horrible things. And it just makes it so much more creepy for me, because it's like, it's so intentional and so gross. When she's sitting there with these needles, like, I get acupuncture done regularly, and I was, and so, like, needles going into me, I'm okay with that. But when she's like, when you know that she's just going through, like, the kidney now, like, it's so rough. I found it. Hang on. Maybe I can. Ugh. Oh, oof. I can't do it. Yeah. No, I don't like it. Don't like it. Oh, gross.
Like, it doesn't show much. Like, it doesn't actually show the needle penetration so much as the after effects of it. And so a lot of it was, yeah, a lot of it was just showing the reaction and showing the after effects of it. I mean, it was, yeah, and that goes to show you, like, how much more impactful it is to not show stuff than it is to show it sometimes. And then the son comes back and there's kind of a tussle and she gets kicked down the stairs.
Oh, she, like, before that, she sticks all these fucking needles into his stomach and then a couple into underneath his eye. And then she, like, okay, so she sticks them all into his stomach and then she gets up on top of him. She, like, straddles him and is, like, jostling all these tummy needles around. It's like, and then she fucking jiggly saws his foot off. His foot off. Face off.
That's good, clean fun is what it is. It ends, it seems like she might be able to, she's like trying to spray the son to get him to faint, but he kicks her down the stairs and she breaks her neck. And it's a happy ending. They'll get away. It's okay. But in throughout, there's like a bunch of like flashbacks and stuff, and there's like a little uncertainty. But in the end, it's like, no, this is actually happening. Like, he's actually fucked. Anyways, who would you recommend audition to?
If you're really looking to push the limits of your discomfort, you might have fucked it yourself a little bit by listening this far through. it worked on me and it would work again. It turns my stomach to think about. It was not a great time. The first half, I don't know. It's something, something toxic masculinity, something, something, I don't know. Japanese cry porn. I don't know. It's very, if these things go together and make you go, then maybe this movie's for you. What do you think?
Definitely like kind of a precursor to the torture porn genre that comes later in America pretty heavily in the 2000s. I don't necessarily think it's a must-see or anything. It's sure talked about a lot. And definitely to sate your curiosity, you can watch it, but I don't know. It's just aight.
Is aight. Yeah, you give it a 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gave it a 7. Yeah, I mean, it is a solid entry into gore porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into our next bit. Taglines.
Here's
taglines.
Taglines is a bit where we come up with alternate taglines for the movie we're reviewing. I'll go first.
We have the Horror Movie Talk Facebook group. Lots of people on there posting funny horror memes all the time. Did you see the one with our good friend Jack Torrance recently? I just sent it to you on Steam, and it's a TikTok that Alan M. shared. Alan M. Rainwater shared over there. Yeah, share it. It says, the caption for those of you listening says, toddlers when they see a disabled person in public.
Is there supposed to be any sound on it? Because I don't hear any sound.
Yeah, it's just the haunting music in the background.
Oh, there it is.
Just toddlers looking at that disabled person with that distant, like, vague stare.
Nice.
I've watched that so many times. Just because it seems like something's going to happen. Like, they're going to go, you know, like, yeah. Have you ever had that where your kid's looking at, you know, somebody in public and you're just like, don't do it. Don't say anything. And then they're like, Papa, that man has no legs. And you're like, no. Has that happened to you?
No, I don't think my kids have done that in my, yeah, I mean, they're not that outspoken.
That has happened to me a couple times where it'd be like, look. Papa, where's that man's arm? It's like, damn it. Shh. It's not there. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere that's not here.
Okay. Taglines.
Yeah.
Audition. They can't show genitals in Japan, but they can show this?
Taglines or audition. The Japanese are much kinkier than us.
Audition. You want to know how I got these scars?
Audition. She's going to get the part. Huh?
Eh?
You get it? The part.
Audition. If you fall in love with her, you be tripping.
Okay, the audition. If a movie has a ballerina in it, buckle up. Every movie I can think of with a ballerina is like, fuck this.
And my last one, audition. Oh, shit. I thought I would remember it after looking at it for 2 seconds. Audition, we're going with someone else.
Yeah, bravo. Yeah.
So that's our episode. Sorry for the hiccup. Sorry, fart. Thanks for joining us. Please share the podcast with a friend. Leave a rating or a review on the places that you can do that. It's sure helps us out. Also, go to horrormovietalk.com. You'll find links to all the things. If you're going to do any shopping for Christmas, I guess it's past Christmas now, so never mind about that. But if you're going to do any shopping on Amazon, click through the button in the banner on horrormovietalk.com. We can get a little taste of that. But most importantly, join us on our Patreon. You can do things like vote on movies for us to watch. You can listen to exclusive episodes that only are on Patreon, or you can just simply listen to the Afterpod, which we'll be recording next, which is us just shooting the shit. We'll see you next time. Call 682-253-4468 if you want to leave us a voicemail and talk about the problematic aspects of this episode. Mostly my fault, I'm sure. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. I love you.
Bye.
Good day, sir. Good day, sir. You lose. You get-
Wow, that didn't sound good.